This woman gets up and walks by the and sits at the far end, as far away from him as she possibly could be. And then the MC got up and started the meeting, introduced the woman, and it was her job to take an offering project from this convention of school administrators. And she had 6 minutes to make the presentation. Bruce said she was about halfway through the presentation when most of the audience was in tears. And she told this incredible story of her time in Romania, a short-term missions experience in Romania, and the tremendous need that there was out there. And, you know, and she made this presentation. And Bruce said, he himself, who's kind of a seasoned, hardened veteran, you know, I mean, once you've heard a number of offering projects, you can kind of become a little hardened. And he said he was in tears. So the woman finished. She moved down to the far. But before she sat down, Bruce motioned for her to come over and sit beside him. He wanted to thank her. So when he began to thank her, she said, Bruce, you must go to Romania. And, you know, he said, man, I'm in the middle of thanking her. And, you know, I mean, how do you respond to somebody who kind of gets in your face and says, you know, you must go to Romania? And so he dialogued with her a little further, and she said, these are the only words out of her mouth. You must go to Romania. He said, six times she said, you must go to Romania. He said, well, would you wait here? I have to speak, and I want to talk to you more after I finish. So he did his thing, and then afterwards they began to chat and found out that she had actually been commissioned by some Romanian Christians to find Bruce Wilkinson and insist that he come to Romania. She told them, look, I don't even live in the same part of the country. There's no way that I'll ever run into him. Forget it. You know, your prayer, that's a dumb prayer. It's not going to be answered. Little did she know that the guy who was supposed to do the offering project got sick right, I mean, just prior to the banquet. He was at the banquet, and he got sick and couldn't do the offering project, which put her on the platform next to Bruce. So Bruce goes home, and God, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm running my own organization. I'm busy. I don't have time to schedule a trip to Romania or into Russia. I don't even have an interest. You must go to Romania. That's all he could think about. So he schedules the trip. He goes over there, and he hooks up with a fellow named Paul Eshelman. And for those of you who don't know Paul, Paul is a Campus Crusade. He's in charge of their entire project in Russia, and he was the promoter and the creator of the Jesus film, which is being used worldwide, translated into many languages. And they're using this thing, and people are coming to Christ in the carloads. Anyways, he hooks up with Bruce, and he spends a couple of weeks with Paul, spends a couple of weeks there, and here's what's happening. Paul Eshelman has gotten permission from the Ministry of Education in the Commonwealth countries of Russia to teach teachers Christian ethics and morals. Now, we're talking to public school teachers. There are 150 school districts in Russia. There are 800 schools in each district. So the strategy is, and it's already working, they take one school district, they call a convocation of these 800 schools, and they send representatives to this three-day convocation, and they teach them how to teach, teaching the teachers how to teach Christian ethics and morals, and of course they show the Jesus film as part of it. Well, you know what's happening. Teachers are coming to Christ, people are getting stirred up. The teachers go back to their schools, and they say, hey, could we have the Jesus film shown in our school for these pupils? Oh, yeah. So they show the film. Then they go to the principal and they say, do you think the parents would be? Oh, would you do this for the parents? Yeah. So now the parents are coming. So the kids are coming to Christ. The parents are coming to this thing. And then that's where it ends. Because what's happening is there's nobody there. And the parents would like to go further. There's nobody there to take them any further. So Bruce begins to feel that God has something in mind. By the way, there are 900 Christian organizations that have poured into the Commonwealth countries since the wall fell down. Okay? And we're talking in months. There are 28,000 full-time cult members already ministering, as far as we can tell. There is some word that there may be 100,000 Jehovah's Witnesses ready to do something significant in the Commonwealth countries of Russia. So Bruce comes away from that feeling that couldn't we get some of these major Christian organizations to come together in a co-mission to Russia and do something that would, you know, taking what Campus Crusade have already developed and taking that thing the next step and just see it explode all over the Commonwealth countries. So he begins to formulate kind of a vision in his own mind and his own heart on what God wants him to do in this whole project. And then he says, well, you know, I've got to have a couple of tests to see whether this is really from God. So Bruce has a board of directors for Walk Through the Bible, plus a donor, a small cadre of major donors that come together on an annual basis, and usually they help to fund the Walk Through the Bible ministry. On the low end, they would give $300,000 a year. On the high end, $600,000. So he has them together at the annual meeting, and he lays out this vision that God is beginning to give them. And he says, one of the ways that I will know that God is in this is that if some of you will respond to this. 60 people gave $4 million. So he says, God must be in this, you know what I mean? So the next test is he goes to Cedarville College in Ohio. Cedarville is a school much like Wheaton with a strong missions emphasis, and he's the Bible speaker for a week. And he gets this idea that he wants to see God continue to demonstrate whether he's in this project. And he's going to ask at the end of the week for 100 students who would come forth and say, shake his hand, look him in the eye, and sign a pledge that they're going to take a year out of their education and go to Russia to be part of this project. Part of the strategy, by the way, is to recruit people for 1 year in teams of 10, that after these parents have gone through the Jesus film and they want more information either on how to grow as a new Christian or how to become a Christian, then we need Bible study leaders that will go in and lead weekly cell groups and nurture this. And it's a one-year commitment in teams of 10. So he lays this out before the Cedarville students, and he said, I don't know how many. There was way over 100 that just poured out of the last meeting and signed a pledge, shook his hand and signed a pledge. So then he's going on to Founders Week at Moody Bible College, and he had a whole series of messages already scripted because they were going to videotape these messages for the Walk Through the Bible ministry. They wanted to use them in their worldwide ministry. And I don't know whether you've ever been involved in any TV productions or video productions, but once it takes a lot to organize that. You send the production crew in, everything is scripted, and you don't deviate from the script. So he gets there the night before, he's to speak the next morning, and everything is set. He's got the messages all outlined and scripted and ready to go, except that God intervenes. God says to Bruce, I don't want you to speak on what you're going to speak on. Oh, well, what do you want me to speak on, Lord? I want you to speak on sin. Bruce said, and you have to listen to him to interact with. Bruce says, but Lord, I don't have a good message on sin. You know? So anyways, he gets there the next morning, and the production vice president is there, and it's kind of like, well, are we all set? You know, we're going to get these videos ready. And, well, yeah, but there's a slight change. Well, what's the change? Well, I've changed the topic. No, God has changed the topic. Oh, no. What has God asked you to speak on? Sin. Sin? You're going to speak on sin? I'm going to speak on sin. Every night that week, he was there for a week, every night God led him differently. The last message, of course, he's going to do what he feels he did at Cedarville. And he's going to challenge these students, and he's looking for the Moody 100 to commit themselves to go to Russia. But the Lord intervenes. So, Bruce, I don't want you to get involved in this. I don't want this to be a work of the arm of the flesh. All I want you to do tomorrow is I want you to read Scripture on who I am and my glory. That's all you want me to do, is read Scripture on who I am and my glory. Yeah, that's right. Just read Scripture on who I am and my glory and stand back and watch what I'll do when you get out of the way. So he wrote out 7.5 pages of Scripture verses on God, who God is and His glory. He said it was absolutely awesome. He said, I am not a reader of Scripture. I'm an animated teacher. And he said, I read terribly in public. And he said, so I started my message by reading, stumbling along through the first page, and people were kind of restless, and got into the second page, and people kind of settled down. By the third page, there was this awesome hush that kind of descended over the whole audience. By the sixth page, he said he saw a little movement out of the corner of his eye way up in the balcony. And a student came out all the way down the aisle, sheet of paper there, and he signs the piece of paper. He said the whole place exploded. There were people over here on their knees in repentance and prayer, and students just coming out of the audience, adults coming out of everybody signing. And he said, they don't even know what they're signing. We had to have another meeting to tell them what they were doing. People just responded because God was in this thing. Well, then Bruce felt that, okay, it looks like God is really doing a work here. I need to call together a number of the major Christian organizations that he felt could cooperate together in this kind of a mission. So he called 60 presidents of organizations and invited them to a meeting at the Moody Church in January. And he invited the Navigators. And our Navigator leader, Terry Taylor, very wisely declined the invitation. He said, Bruce, you know, in most organizations, you have a singular leadership. You know, Bill Bright can make decisions for Campus Crusade and execute those throughout the organization. He said, in our organization, we have a plural leadership. And we desperately want to be in on this, but you're going to have to come to Glen Eyrie and meet with about 30 of our leaders. I'll bring them in from all over the country. And you're going to have to take the, you know, because they've got to agree. They hold the resources. They hold the people and the money. And if we're going to get involved in this thing, you've got to address them. At the Moody meeting without the Navigators, it was really interesting. And I'm going to get a little history of all of this from Bruce. But he mentioned to us, we met in the Pink House. He mentioned to us that there was a fellow in the meeting who was a bit of a church historian. And as the meeting progressed, eventually he got a hold of the microphone and said, I just want to bring to your attention a piece of history. He said, in 1907, in this very church building, there was gathered together a group of Christian leaders from around the country with the same agenda. How could we cooperate together in a thrust into Russia? And it was decided at that meeting to do nothing. And then the revolution came and the door slammed. And for 75 or 80 years or whatever, there's been no concerted missionary effort into Russia. He said, brothers and sisters, we can't miss this opportunity. Okay, so we meet over in the Pink House. Bruce Wilkerson comes in, 30 NAV leaders, 5 hours. He takes to brief us on this incredible journey. And I've just highlighted a few of the things that kind of stood out. The next morning we met together, just the leaders without Bruce. Some of you know that I have longevity on the U.S. leadership team. At the national team, there's no one else that has served as many consecutive years on that leadership team. I don't know what that says. Other than I do have a little perspective of history and what's going on in the NAVs. And in my opinion, we have never made the kind of decision we made that morning, ever, in the almost 20 years that I've sat on that, the significance of the decision. We began to interact on how we felt. And I got the floor first. You know, I'm not bashful on certain things. And I was so excited because I'd wrestled all night with God on this thing. I was so excited about it. And my plea was, unless God were to lower a sheet from heaven that said, do not cooperate in this mission, there was no way. This thing is made for the Navigators. When you think about those small groups that formulate out of the Jesus film, Who better to lead those kind of groups than navigator-trained people? And we've got, for instance, just in the 2-7 series alone, there are 18,000 people that have graduated from the 2-7 program. They're well able to lead one of those groups for a year. And then to say nothing of our student alumni ministry, to say nothing of our student ministry or the military ministry or whatever. So I was smoking fire, man. It was coming out my ears, and every one of the 30 people felt the same way. Jim North was there. Jim spearheaded the opening of our ministry into Indonesia in the late 1960s. And Jim said, you know, when he went to Indonesia, I'm not going to have the figures right, but I'll give you an idea of what he was trying to share. He said the population of the country was something like 100 million, 5% of which were Christian. And this is in the late 60s. And he said he would send back to headquarters every year a request, send me 10 navigator representatives, send me 5 navigators, send me 15 navigators. And he said, we didn't send. We didn't flood the market, so to speak. He said, today, there are 300 million Indonesians, and 30% of the population is Christian. But as you can see, there are more non-Christians now than Christians. And he wept in this meeting. He said, guys, we can't miss this. The window in Russia may not, in the Commonwealth countries, may not stay open that long. We cannot ignore this. And so, and then one other, just a little highlight of the meeting. One of the chief components of this thrust is going to be the translation of materials. Because you've got, you know, if you're going to lead those home studies, you've got to have Russian materials and so on and so forth. John Eames, who's the director for NAV Press, is sitting in the back, and he said, well, I guess it's time for a confession. He said, about a year ago, Multnomah Press and InterVarsity Press and NAV Press got together, and we decided that something was happening in Russia and we wanted to be in on it. And to make a long story short, we already have an office in Moscow and we can start publishing tomorrow. I mean, that's not bad, you know. So you see all these pieces that God seems to be orchestrating in this whole thing. The part that the navigators feel, we're obviously interested in the publishing part of that, and we're being invited to participate in the committee that will determine the materials to be used and the translations and so on. There's a prayer component that we want to be involved in a national, concerted national prayer effort. There's various leadership levels. One of the leadership levels is the training of the 12, we're looking for 12,000 one-year missionaries. And the navigators are going to get the two-week training period that every one of those 12,000 will have to go through. They will design the content and ensure that everybody, at least in that two, and I realize 2 weeks is not a whole lot, a whole long time to do what we do. But it sure is better than nothing, and it's going to be a fun project. And then we have committed as an organization, as a U.S. organization, to send 2,000 people. That's 400 a year for the next 5 years. Now, to put that into perspective for you, our entire missionary history, we have not sent 2,000 people. And we've been, as an organization, 59 years old. And we have not sent a cumulative in that 59 years. And yet, all of us felt like, hey, this is really exciting. This is an opportunity that may come only once in a lifetime. And to be able to get in there and do what we do best. And so we have made that commitment. And then I felt over the next few weeks, I committed myself. I was not going to say anything to anybody unless anybody asked me. But I really felt like God had a part for me to play in that. And what happened was, by the time I got to Vail last week for the National Ministry Council meetings, about 8 or 10 of the 16 members had asked me individually how I felt about it. And And my communication to them was that if the National Ministry Council felt that this was a thing that that I could make a contribution to, that I would be excited to do that. And I had to do business with God. Some of you know that there's been some things over the last 9 months in my own life that have, in a sense, parallel where Bruce was in terms of the brokenness and just submitting to God, and a couple of prayer events that I've told you about in the past 9 months that took place. And so anyways, to make a longer story shorter, the National Ministry Council has asked that I would head that project up. And I am, you know, 99, I'm looking for the sheet that would say no, because I am so wired and so excited. All of this is happening, of course. It started on Friday, and my son and all my family from Canada arrived, and, you know, we had this wedding going on this weekend, and I've been absolutely numb for about 4 days, and I haven't even processed all of this stuff. But that means that I will be leaving the Glen Eyrie director's job probably by the end of the summer. The job, the co-mission job, we're already behind the eight ball. We want to send our first contingent in October. And not necessarily 400, but we want to send a number of teams of 10 in October. And so I'm going to step into that role very aggressively and very quickly, and at the same time try and maintain the leadership of the Glen, but it's going to mean that you all are going to have to cover more of the bases for me until we... And we're going to go through a process. Steve Prinsner wished he could have been with us today, but he's in Dallas, and he'll be interviewing some of the managers and supervisors and so on over the next few weeks or months, and trying to get an idea of where do we, you know, who... is going to be that replacement, and it will not come from within the Glen. It's going to be someone, you know, that probably already has a major role somewhere else, and we're just going to have to move that around and jockey with that. It's not going to, you know, hopefully it's not going to affect us here, but I wanted to be the first to tell you, because when I got to the wedding, I mean, word was already out. And I was a little fearful that some of you would, you know, get the message without my having the privilege of communicating how excited I am about it. And then the second thing, of course, there's two things I want from you today. I want your life. I want you to commit to 1 year. I want your money. And that's all. That's going to be my message for the next 5 years. It's a five-year assignment, and I'm going to go to and fro throughout the country seeking to devour anybody that will listen, and I'm really excited about it. So let me just open it up for questions. You all may have a comment or a question that, Hal? Oh, that's right. Yeah, his point on that whole plea for Indonesia was that you can't get a visa for Indonesia now.
What about the language barrier? The
question is, what about the language barrier? We hire Russian translators, $400 a year, good pay for a Russian. And they see, the beauty of this strategy is that there are already people in place. There's a team over there right now. All they're doing is acquiring apartments. And then the language thing has already been addressed. They've identified the language schools, and we go in and we hire, and the interesting thing is that 80% of the translators that they're using come to Christ. So, I mean, it's a phenomenal thing. I mean, and this thing has approval, by the way, through the Ministry of Education all the way to Yeltsin. And from their standpoint, I'm sure what they're looking at is the money that this is going to bring into the country. I mean, we're talking about one of these missionaries is probably the budget is going to look about $20,000 for the year. That includes the hiring of the translator and the flight costs over and all of that stuff. But that's still a significant amount of money when you start multiplying that times 12,000 people and then all of that that's going to be another side benefit. This is very similar to our old international trainee program, where we used to send folks like yourself for 1 year. We still do this, but we aggressively used to send ITs for a 1 or 2 year period. When we did some review of the statistics on that, we found back then that over 50% of those that went out as ITs eventually went back to the nation as a full-time missionary. Now, if we send 2,000 NAV folks, and if we got 10% to go back at the end of the 5 years, that would be 200 full-time missionaries. We've been working in the Eastern Bloc countries for over 15 years. We've got 6 Russian staff and 6 expatriates in 15 years. Wouldn't be a bad investment to come out of this with a couple hundred scattered all over the country. So it's a really exciting concept. We'll get you applications, those that are interested. This, you know, the fundraising trip I went on 10 days ago down to Kansas, Wichita, Kansas? And these are very conservative people in Wichita. Very conservative. Mark, how many did we mix? Six presentations? We had 6 presentations. 2 of the couples, I mean, they lit up. One of them is a pig farmer with 4 kids or 3 kids? 4? 3?
4.
And it was, I mean, you could just see him. He could care less. Mark and I are asking him for thousands of dollars. He's not even listening to that. He's back on the Russian thing. And he's saying, boy, I could take my, that would be fantastic. I'd love to do that. I could organize this thing. So, and then we met with a couple. She's a medical doctor and he's a professor. And they both said, oh, we could take a leave of absence. Boy, this would really be exciting. So that's 30%, you know, 6 couples to respond. And it's really exciting. I mean, it's a doable thing. I think that's the beauty of it. And there's a window of opportunity open for us to make some kind of an impact. And think about investing a year of your life. It's not all that big a deal, is it, for the kingdom work? Not all that big a deal. Appreciate you asking the question. We'll get the applications.
What's the chances of the investment?
Well, I'm sure that over the years, James, there will be an interchange of that kind of thing. And I'm sure that we'll have some Russian involvement in the LDI or a similar type program on the Glen. I think that's going to take place. Yeah.
How much support money are we thinking about?
$20,000.
The person's going to have to raise?
Yeah, but we'll help them. And it's very doable. I mean, that's a humongous amount of money. But you tell the story in the right way, and that's what we'll equip each person to be able to do with materials and video and whatever. Listen, I've got to raise for my personal support. See, I've been out here for 15 years, so part of my salary is supported by Glen Erie. Part of it I raise. I have got to raise almost $50,000 and in leaving this job. And I, to tell you the truth, I did business with God on it because on Friday night, I knew this. No, let me think here. On Wednesday night up in Vail, I knew that this agenda item was going to come up. And I woke up about 3 in the morning and I thought, I can't go. I can't accept this assignment because I don't have my money raised. I'm not available. And God said, hey, if I'm in it, don't you think I can do this? And boy, I had to come to a place of surrender. And you know, I did. And within 15 minutes, God gave me 2 ideas on how to raise that money. And it just is not, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal to raise it. So, interesting. Thanks for asking that. I had mentioned this when we had the Pink House meeting, and she saw, you know, the fire. And see, Nancy's lived all of her life. I think I shared this with you. When we first got married, and I was a young, brand-new Christian, she was fearful I was going to come home with airplane tickets to Africa. Pardon me, but that's the only place that Nancy thought, you know, needed the gospel. She was a very immature Christian, and so was I. So she's been waiting for that time when I was going to come home with those airplane tickets. So this is not a shock to her. But when I got home on Thursday night, and I'd had my little presentation with the guys, and I didn't know what their decision was going to be. Thursday night, we were lying in bed, and she said, "Well, Bob, your time at Glen Eyrie is over. This thing is going to happen, and it's, you know, let's go for it." So it's kind of exciting. Yeah. Colorado Springs. Yeah. My primary thrust will be in creating the momentum, the excitement. I've already figured out how to, you know, we're probably going to need at least $1 million to kick off the launch on this thing, because you're looking at the development of videos and all these materials to help people fundraise and all of that kind of stuff. And my strategy on that is kind of coming into being. And again, I don't think it's going to be an impossible task. I'm quite confident that we're going to be able to raise that very quickly.
What do you call it?
It's right now, it's called Co-Mission. Okay, it's a cooperative mission. We probably will rename it inside our every organization. By the way, there are only 6 sending agencies. See, Moody's not a sending agency. They'll have 100 or so students, but those students are going to have to go through one of the existing sending agencies, just because everything's already set up to handle that. You know, we've got a whole missions department that can process and handle all that stuff rather quickly. So, you know, we're gonna be processing some people that. And what did you ask? Where? Oh, my primary thrust will be U.S. Create the momentum, the enthusiasm for it, and get people cranked up.
What are the other 4 agencies that are sending?
I don't know. Crusade is the other big player in the whole scenario. The next step for me will be a trip. I've had to cancel my trip. Some of you know I was going to Nigeria, and I've had to cancel that. And instead, I'll be going to Moscow. And then I'll be involved in a couple of quick meetings here over the next 30 days with the co-mission people to get up to steam and all of that. Doug? Yeah, we're going to design the training, the navigators are, and the Glen will host. We won't do the October one because John can't free up the schedule, but we'll do. No, I looked at the schedule already, John. Sorry, but we'll be doing subsequent ones, and we think that these are going to probably happen regionally because there's no way you can process that many people through. So, but we will, we'll probably do 2 a year, 93, 94, and on.
Bob, is this strictly for individuals or for families?
Families, no. Married couples, yes. So, you know, they just don't have the housing, the living conditions are not going to be ideal.
Anybody want to babysit for a year?
Well, we don't have all the details, and, you know, it's like Bruce said, that God is moving so rapidly in this thing that we don't even know the questions to ask. But it's just, it's so obvious. I have never seen 30 navigators come together so quickly on any decision. I mean, you know, there was no dissent whatsoever, and it was just an enthusiastic embracing of it. And similarly, in them asking for myself and Nancy to take the role, it was a unanimous, total endorsement that that's what we ought to do. So,
how many towns or cities are involved? Is it just Moscow?
No, 150 school districts in all of the Commonwealth countries. We're also including Romania and Albania. But the total is about 150 school districts in all of that, 800 schools in each district. And so I'm not sure how the strategy begins and whether it starts in Moscow and works out or whether we'll just plant teams all over. We will be responsible. Those that go out under the Navigator banner, the teams of 10, wherever they're planted, we will have a senior nav rep who will float and shepherd that. So we are going to have to send, nav missionaries, the full-time 4 or 5 year kind over there to do some of that supervision. And we're looking for a few of them. This thing is so exciting. I mean, I've had a phone call already this morning from one guy who heard about it, who called a buddy, the buddy called me to say, this guy is so excited about it, you got to invite him on that team to help you with this thing. I said, I don't even know what I'm doing myself. He said, don't make any difference. This guy will come, doesn't need a job description, he just wants in. So it is really exciting. The only thing that was mentioned, Brian, was that there is an Islamic school separation over there, and we do not have permission to get into that system. And they apparently have these Islamic schools all over the Commonwealth countries, and we're excluded from that. But we'll take what we can get right now. The primary thrust is, if you have had any kind of a nav background orientation, you know how to feed yourself and to feed somebody else, get them started in the quiet time, lead a Bible study, and lead people to Christ. No more than 4 students per team. So 6 of them are going to be lay people. Which, if you put this all together, you know that I think this thing was made prior to our U.S. strategy, which has just emerged over the last 5 years. The U.S. strategy statement says to serve, mobilize, and equip the laity. That's the lay people, not students. That's what our thrust is. Well, we didn't have anything to mobilize them to. All of a sudden, we've got fire. And I think it was the missing component for the nav ministries. There's been a little bit of a vacuum. If you asked a navigator 20 years ago, what were the navigators all about? They would have said laborers for the harvest. About 10 years ago, or maybe 15, we redefined where the harvest was, and we said it was in American cities and in American campuses and so on, and we turned inward, just like our culture. We turned to self-serving and self-centeredness. I think this is going to bring us back. I mean, it's got the potential to... it's done it in my own soul. And if you can get this hard-headed hockey puck turned around and excited, anybody's convertible. Well, listen, I appreciate your time, and I'll keep you posted and updated as we move along on this thing. But I think the number one thing I'd ask from you all, we know when God blesses that the enemy chafes. And I am very fearful for myself and my family in terms of a counterattack by the enemy. So I would really appreciate you guys just really holding us up in prayer. Just surround us, if you pray nothing else except for our protection from the enemy and the evil that he can bring. Bruce shared some stuff that had happened in his life as this vision began to formulate. And he said it was absolutely just right from the pit. And I think that's probably going to hit the navs too. I mean, the enemy does not give up territory very easily. And so he'll, and I would suspect it'll happen rather quickly, that we're going to get some fierce counterattacks. So I just appreciate your praying along those lines. Well, let me pray for us and we'll get out of here. Father, we want to thank you for what you are doing in Russia and the Commonwealth countries and that whole Eastern Europe. And for years, there's been so much prayer. And all of a sudden, we're standing, seeing the hand of God just literally turn nations to where there was not just passive resistance, but there was fierce resistance to the gospel. And now the door is just flung wide open, and the nations are calling. and looking for spiritual help and material help and all of these other things. And so we want to thank you for the many prayers that have been answered by what you're doing over there. And we thank you for allowing the Navigators to be involved in this project. We don't know where it's going to go and or what's going to happen. But Lord, it just seems like you've led very, very clearly. And we want to thank you for the part that we can play. Even if it's just prayer, we realize that that's the most powerful weapon that we have. And so, Lord, lay it on our hearts. And even for those here in this audience today, Father, I know that some hearts are really stirred about this. And I pray that if your hand is in this, that they would see very clearly your leading in their lives. So we want to thank you for our time together, and we want to tell you that we love you, and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives and in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.